Will famine come to America? Will famine come to America? Some of you may have seen the newspaper article in the paper just several days ago. In case you didn't, you can take a look at this later. I'll read just part of this. The heading of the newspaper article is, "Spreading fungus disease could kill half of the United States corn." Fungus disease may kill half of the corn crop this year in America. And I'll read part of this, and then we'll go to the scripture and see if God Almighty has something to say or to do about some of these things that are happening to us as a nation. This is from Georgia. "An epidemic of southern leaf blight, a fungus disease which attacks corn, is spreading across the United States and could destroy 50% or more of the 1970 corn crop," a group of scientists and seed producers says. The group meeting at the University of Georgia said in a series of reports yesterday it had confirmed the disease had hit the nation's corn belt and reached epidemic stage as far north as Des Moines, Iowa, and Terre Haute, Indiana. They also said it may have spread into Canada. Agriculture Department spokesman in Washington said the disease had been found in at least 60 Illinois counties and as far north as Wisconsin. They said reliable estimates of damage in most areas were difficult to obtain, but that field reports said corn production had been cut by 50% in Mississippi and also reduced in other southern areas. Plant pathologists at Iowa State University said the blight had been spotted on 1 to 2% of the plants in eastern and central Iowa. A spokesman for the group in Athens, including 125 agricultures from 10 corn-growing states. Now, this will give you an idea of the seriousness of this. They called this meeting of these men from the 10 major corn-growing states to see what in the world was happening. They said the seriousness of the disease cannot be fully determined until after the fall harvest. However, he said some members are predicting that as much as 50% or more of this year's anticipated yield could be lost. The Department of Agriculture is estimating this year's corn crop at 4.6 billion bushels at current prices, and of course they always think of this in money terms, you know. At current prices, such a loss could cost the nation's farmers more than $2.5 billion in income. One of the agriculturists said this would send corn prices skyrocketing, increasing costs for producers of poultry and livestock because corn is a primary food for both. So you see, this would affect beef production and poultry production also sometime during this next winter and on into the next spring. There's a little more, but it ends up by saying this. No one is sure where the new fungus variety originated, Smith said, but it was reported earlier in the Philippines. Last year, it attacked Florida sweet corn severely and has spread rapidly. The article indicates this is a new type of fungus, and they are using almost all hybrid corns in the United States, which are resistant to fungus. This is now a new one, and it is attacking all the hybrid corn. Evidently, there's no corn strain yet developed that is able to withstand this fungus disease. All right, let's turn to the scripture, because many people will read these articles and begin to realize that the United States has things facing it, which maybe our technology and our man's intelligence and the things that we do will not be able to cope with. Some of these things, like this, 1 year, just in 1 year, what would happen next year? What about the corn crop next year? If there's no way to combat this thing, of course, it might mean the elimination of growing corn in America just within the space of a matter of a few years. Turn with me to Matthew 24. Verse 3, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming in the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, see that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, and pestilences, and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." And I want to be sure and read that last verse there, because in some Bibles, perhaps in yours, in Mark 13, in the same verses, verse 3 through 8, same as Matthew 24, tells the same story, but in my Bible there's a marginal note reference to the word sorrows. That's in verse 8 of Mark 13, and it says, the word in the original importeth the pains of a woman in travail. The word sorrows has a meaning of the pains of a woman in travail. Now you know that throughout the Bible, in the prophecies, that the prophets used the term woman in travail often to indicate those things that would happen just prior to the kingdom. And let's read a few verses in Micah 4 to give you an idea. Christ used a term, or used a word, that these famines and earthquakes and these other things would be the beginning of sorrows, a word meaning woman in travail. And back in Micah 8 is a few verses indicating this idea of a woman in travail. Micah 4, starting in verse 8. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion, the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Zion. So we know this is a kingdom prophecy, and it refers to the daughter of Zion. Now why dost thou cry out loud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished? For pangs have taken thee as a woman in travail. So you see here, and the prophecy of the kingdom is the term, a woman in travail. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon. There shalt thou be delivered, there the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. So in three verses we see that Micah sees that the daughter of Zion will be in pain as a woman in travail just prior to being delivered into the kingdom. And Christ, we know from the rest of Matthew 24, refers to the idea that these famines, earthquakes, wars and rumors of wars are all part of the things that have something to do with the sorrows or the pangs of travail. And if we follow through the pangs of travail, we'll see that it means those things that happen just prior to the kingdom. Now, I want to talk more about the famine this morning rather than the other things, because news items like this idea that half of the corn in the United States might not reach the harvest are more important to us today than they were, for instance, 5 years ago. 5 years ago, America, according to the government, had tremendous amounts of farm and food surpluses. We had storage bins all over the northern part of the United States. Some of you have been up there, for instance, in Minnesota, where we lived. In western Minnesota, they had these metal storage bins that were about as large around as this room, about 20 feet high, and you would see them in western Minnesota. In some places, you'd see hundreds of them in a field right out in the country. And they'd been placed outside a small town. They were metal, and they were full of corn and grain. And there were scores of places around western Minnesota where these things were by the hundreds. This is in addition to the regular elevators which store the grain and corn and so on in the cities. Well, within the last 5 years, all of those storages, those metal storage bins, have been emptied. They are empty. They are no longer used. The food surpluses have either been eliminated by the cutting back of acreage, or they have been eliminated by the sending of our food overseas, primarily to communist countries. America has no food surplus. So that the destruction of the crops of 1 year would mean we would have famine in America the next winter. Not 5 years from then, or 10 years, as we used up our surpluses. We would have famine the very next winter. All right, let's turn to the prophets. Turn over to Isaiah 51. We'll read just a few of these, and we'll see that Lord God Almighty prophesied that he would use certain things against his people Israel. Isaiah 51, verse 17. Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which has drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of trembling and wrung them out. There is none to guide thee among all her sons, all the sons whom she hath brought forth, neither is there any that taketh her by the hand of all the sons that she hath brought up. These two things are come unto thee. Now he says, these two things are come unto thee. Who shall be sorry for thee? Desolation and destruction, and the famine and the sword. Now, I believe that he's referring to just two things. The desolation would be the famine. Destruction, of course, would be the sword. By whom shall I comfort thee? Thy sons have fainted. They lie at the head of all the streets as a wild bull in the net. They are full of the fury of the Lord, the rebuke of thy God. Now, you'll notice as he said this, that this desolation and destruction or famine and sword would come, that he would bring it. And it would be called the fury of the Lord. He doesn't say that this is something that happened to you separately. He says they are full of the fury of the Lord. Turn over to Jeremiah 14, starting in verse 10. Thus saith the Lord unto this people, thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet, therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sin. The Lord is going to come against them because of their sins. Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. When they offer burnt offerings and an oblation, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. Now we know that pestilence is a result of the other two. Whenever you have war, you have pestilence because of the lack of sanitation and all the dead and putrefying flesh that is brought into a nation that has battle. This is also true of famine. So again, we have the same two things, the sword and famine that God said he would bring against these people. Verse 13, then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. Now, this was true in Jeremiah's time when he was talking of old Israel and Palestine. Jeremiah, the word of the Lord said to Jeremiah that God was going to bring the sword and famine into the land. But Jeremiah says, but Lord, the ministers tell the people they're not going to have the sword nor famine. And you know, we are literally in the same condition today. The ministers tell the people that, well, everything is wonderful. There's no problem. Brother Herman there was telling us about a minister who lives just a few doors from them. They were talking to one day about some of the things that were happening in the nation. I guess he was a Lutheran, or Presbyterian, and he talked back to Herman. He says, why, everything is fine. There's nothing wrong. What are you worried about? What are you concerned? And he appeared to think that Herm was just some sort of a nut if he thought there was anything wrong. Now, this minister is out preaching the thing to his people, that everything is wonderful, is fine. We're finding our way out of this. We're going through Russia, and we're going to get peace. We're not going to have any battle, because we're going to decide for peace. And there's not going to be any problem in this land. And here, Jeremiah said the same thing was true at the time, that the minister should not have famine or the sword. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. Therefore thus saith the Lord, and the prophets that prophesy in my name, I sent them not, but they say, sword and famine shall not be in this land, by sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed. God says, that's right, they prophesy no sword or no famine, but the sword and the famine will consume, and they'll die by those two things, those who prophesy falsely. Now, we know this was a prophecy in old Palestine, but listen to the next verse so that you don't lay all of the blame on the ministers. And the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword. And they shall have none to bury them, their wives, nor their sons, nor their daughters, for I will pour their wickedness upon them. I will pour their wickedness upon them. You notice, even in this time when God prophesies and makes it a surety that these two punishments will come upon Israel, he doesn't say a thing about it being caused by the enemy. You notice, he says, I'll pour their wickedness out upon them, and the pouring out of it will be in famine and by the sword. Now, you notice in this verse, as he said this, that the priests were the ones who did the prophesying, but the people evidently believed. I have a letter here that I received from a lady in Alabama. And she made a remark, and I hadn't thought about this so much. I've mentioned it a few times. But it is probably true that this thing is going on more than we realize. For instance, in verse 17, let's read on in Jeremiah. Therefore thou shalt say this word unto them, let mine eyes run down with tears night and day, and let them not cease, for the virgin daughter of my people is broken with a great breach and a very grievous blow. If I go forth into the field, then behold, the slain with the sword. And if I enter into the city, then behold, them that are sick with famine. Yea, both the prophet and the priest go about into a land that they know not. Now, in the margin of my Bible is a secondary translation of this idea that they go about into a land that they know not, and it says this, or make merchandise against the land, and men acknowledge it not. They make merchandise against the land. They sell the land into captivity for their pay. They actually paid to do this. The ministers, the priests and the prophets, make merchandise of the land. They are selling out the country. You know, there's a reason why when we talk of treason and we talk of those men who are working with the enemy, we call it selling out. They're selling out the country. They sell the country. They make merchandise of the country for a pay. And back at the time that Jeremiah wrote this, the indication was that the ministers who preached that there would be no battle or war and there would be no famine were doing it because they were selling out the country deliberately for pay. And this letter from this lady in Alabama says this, among other things, I have long since lost interest in these Judaized preachers who get their instructions from Jew-bride professors in church schools. I will be glad to try to help give them the truth, but few will receive it. Yet we are to try. I'm enclosing a check for 100 copies of an open letter to any minister who teaches the Jews or Israel. Now here's a person who's had enough experience to recognize that these people are getting their information from bribed people. People who are paid to teach and preach the thing. And Jeremiah, or at least the translation of what Jeremiah said was happening in Palestine at that time, indicates that the priests and the prophets taught these things because they were making merchandise of the land. They were selling out the country. And God says, they're wrong. They are going to die by the very thing that they say is not going to come upon the land. The famine and the sword will take care of them. All right, now you saw this article. And by the way, as you read some of these things regarding, for instance, this corn, the possibility of this fungus disease spreading, you'll see articles in the newspaper, many times they're quite a bit smaller than this. You notice that this is quite large, but very many of them are smaller. And men all over the country are being concerned about many things, including the fact that much of the food grown on our land today is getting, each year, it's getting harder to store it. The doctor probably knows this, that this food coming out of this land is becoming harder to store. It doesn't keep. It deteriorates within a matter of days or weeks sometimes after it's picked off the tree or comes out of the ground. And we're having greater and greater difficulty of storing the food in its natural state. And of course, that's one of the reasons why almost everything has to be canned or dried or preserved in some way. And as they do this, they lose much of the food value. Some of the recent reports from some of the men who are trying to find out the causes of poverty in Washington, many of these men are finding out that the American people seem to be eating enough, but they're suffering from malnutrition. They actually have a lot of food on the table, but you know what? The famine is beginning in the land. The famine. Even as they eat plenty of food, they are becoming sickly, the hospitals are getting full, and people are suffering from malnutrition even though they seem to eat enough. So it doesn't take a case where the food has to be actually taken away from them. The food value is taken out of the food, and it is also bringing famine in the land. Now it's interesting also as we see this news article. The news article above it tells of a meeting of the National Student Association, which voted 150 to 134 to not tie up the Washington, D.C. government next May 1st. There was a resolution submitted to the National Student Association. Now, mind you, this is the national headquarters of all the student organizations of the colleges of the United States. And they came real close to adopting a resolution that would call for students by the tens of thousands going to Washington, D.C. next May 1st, entering all of the government buildings and the Pentagon, and forcibly preventing the people from coming to work in Washington, D.C. on that day. Do you think the sword is not ready to come into the land? Can you imagine a situation where tens of thousands of American citizens, these young people, 17, 18, 19, 20, up to 30 years of age, would arrive in Washington, D.C., and upon signal on a certain morning, would go to every government office there and try and prevent the people from going inside and doing their work? Do you really think that we need an invasion of Russian troops to stop the wheels of this industry and this land? No, they're raising them right up in this land. The sword is being formed inside this land of our own people. It doesn't have to be an invasion from without only, although I think that will come also. All right. Let's go now to some of the things that have to do with us. Now, I talk about famine, and I talk about the sword, and immediately we begin to wonder, well, what about us? Is this famine going to come to us? Is this sword going to come to us? All right, turn over to Psalm 33, and perhaps some of you have thought of these verses. I'll just read a few of these. You know, the Bible is full of promises that God Almighty will save the Christian people and the believer from trouble and trial and tribulation and all these things that will come to pass. In Psalm 33, starting in verse 18, it says, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield." So here we have a promise in one of the Psalms that God Almighty will take the people, those who believe, and He keeps them alive from death and keeps them alive in famine. In Psalm 37, starting in verse 18, "The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied." How about that? Now, I believe that if we had enough time, that I could show you more verses than we have read, that the United States of America is going to have famine in the land. But I also know from the rest of these promises that God Almighty has said He's going to save the righteous from famine and from the sword. Now, we have to claim the word and believe it. This is not going to happen among those people who refuse the word and deny it. And let's read on in the next verse in Psalm 37, because this fits what we've already read. He said in verse 19, "In the days of famine they shall be satisfied, but the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, into smoke shall they consume away." How about that? You know, if you put the scripture together, it begins to look as if God is going to bring the sword and the famine in the land to do what? Destroy America? No, destroy the wicked from out of the nation. Because this is what we read back here in Jeremiah. Let's read it again. So we have this in our mind. I know that many people are concerned and they're upset and they're about ready to go out and start slaying these enemies that they see in the land. They say, "Why, these people are destroying us. They're traitors. They're tearing us down." Verse 15 of Jeremiah, it says, "Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I sent them not. These false prophets, these false ministers, the ones that claim the name of Christ and they're not teaching His word. They say sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed, and the people to whom they prophesy, the ones who believe them, the ones who support them, the ones who stay in there and support this evil that's being done against the land. shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword. All right, turn over to Jeremiah 18. Again, we have another clue as to what the course of events will be, so that we do not get too disturbed when I read. And you know, this idea of half of the corn crop in America being destroyed in 1 year is a rather frightening one if you look at it from the natural side, or the natural course of events, or the things that we know from the natural. We have no food surpluses, and here we have one of our major crops. Possibility of being very small this year, and very much less than normal. Jeremiah 18, starting in verse 18. I should give you a little background here. You know that Jeremiah has been prophesying, telling that the Babylonians are going to come. And these are his enemies, the other prophets. Verse 18, and said they, come and let us devise devices against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come and let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give any heed to any of his words. Jeremiah had been saying that the ministers and the priests and the prophets would not be preaching the law. They wouldn't be preaching the truth. These other men turn around and says, well, come and let's stop this Jeremiah, because the law is going to be preached by the priest, the word is going to be in the priest. What do they mean? And what do I hear today? All the ministers in the country, what do they tell the people? We're preaching the word of God. The word of God is being preached to the people. Billy Graham said the other day, in referring to the gospel of the kingdom to be preached in all the world, he says, for the first time, this can now come to pass. Brother, sister, they're not preaching the word to the people, but they insist that they are. And this is what these men said. They said, we're preaching the word. Let's stop this Jeremiah. Come and let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give any heed to any of his words. Let's preach against him, and let's get the people to quit listening to Jeremiah. Because Jeremiah was preaching what? The sword and the famine was going to come into the land. And they said, oh, no, it's not. Let's stop Jeremiah. All right, let's go on. Here's what Jeremiah says. Give heed to me, O Lord, and hearken to the voice of them that contend with me. Shall evil be recompensed for good? For they have digged a pit for my soul and my life. And he's speaking to God. Remember that I stood before thee to speak good for them and to turn away thy wrath from them. Therefore, can you imagine? Now listen, this is good, godly Jeremiah. He's praying to God Almighty about these other ministers and prophets. Therefore, deliver up their children to the famine, and pour out their blood by the force of the sword. Boy, that doesn't sound much like we think a preacher should be like, does it? Jeremiah said, these false preachers and these prophets who are trying to stop me from preaching the truth, and they say, oh, they're preaching the word, and they say nothing's going to happen to Israel. He says, you pour out their blood by the force of the sword, and let their wives be bereaved of their children and be widows, and let their men be put to death, and let their young men be slain by the sword in battle. I suppose if I were to tell people in most of the churches today that a good godly preacher actually got up before God Almighty and prayed to the Lord that he would destroy these prophets out of the land, they would die by the sword and they would die by the famine, they would say, oh, wasn't he a terrible person? Why, you're supposed to love everybody. Why, you're supposed to keep everybody alive and in good health and love them and everybody get together and have a wonderful world. So, you know, Jeremiah recognized that you're going to have a wonderful world when one thing comes to pass. The wicked are destroyed out of the land. This Bible teaches all through this. When Israel people came into Canaan, what were they supposed to do? They were supposed to destroy all the wicked people that lived in that land. Man, woman, and child, they were to be put to death. And they disobeyed. I know that isn't the kind of so-called Christian preaching you get today. They want to keep everybody alive. They want to keep the murderers alive, and the rapists alive, and the criminals alive. And Jeremiah says, oh no. Lord God, these people that are trying to devise devices against me, he says, deliver them to the sword and to the famine. Let a cry be heard from the houses, and thou shalt bring a troop suddenly upon them, for they have digged a pit to take me, and hid snares for my feet. Yet, Lord, thou knowest all their counsel against me to slay me. Forgive not their iniquity, neither blot out their sin from thy sight, but let them be overthrown before thee. Deal thus with them in the time of thine anger. Do you think that's scriptural? I think that it is. I think that that is a very scriptural doctrine and precept that we are authorized by God Almighty to pray for the destruction of those people who make merchandise of the land. Now, that's what he accused them of before, right? Of selling out the land by telling the people that, oh, no sword or famine is going to come here. Everything is wonderful. You just keep on doing what you're doing, and everything will be fine. Turn over to Revelation 18. We have plenty of instruction in this book, and there's a direct instruction on how we are to avoid the sword and the famine. Revelation 18 and verse 8 says, speaking of Babylon, therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning, and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. This is Babylon. She's going to be destroyed partially by famine. But in verse 4 he says, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. One of her plagues was going to be famine. Come out of her. Don't partake of the plague, the famine. Do you realize that as you read these things, that all of these great punishments and these great plagues that are coming are for the destruction of the wicked and for Babylon? There is no reason in God's Word that would give us to worry about a headline that says that half the corn crop in America is going to be destroyed. Because God says He's going to use these things to destroy the wicked and Babylon. I want to close over here in Matthew 14, because I believe, you know, some people say the days of miracles are past. But I believe that there are going to be things come to pass in this land that are exact repercussions, perhaps in greater measure than some of the things that happen in the Bible. And let's read this one and consider it. Matthew 14, starting in verse 15. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. This is a desert place. There's no food here. There's nothing to eat here, so let's stop what we're doing and let them go into the city and get some food. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. Go ahead and feed them. And they said unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down in the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and brake. Notice what he did with them? He looked up to heaven, and he blessed the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And he brake and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. Now, many people say this, they preach sermons on this, telling that this has great significance on a spiritual plane. Well, brother, sister, I do not believe that I am scripturally amiss when I say we might find ourselves in this land with so little food that we may have to look up to heaven and bless it and break it and feed thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people with literally a handful of food. Do you think it can happen? Of course it can. God said there's going to be a famine upon Israel as one of the two punishments for Israel, the famine and the sword. And if a famine comes to this land, it means that there is going to be such a shortage of food that they will be like they are here. They're in a desert place. The food is miles away. They're going to have to get it. And Christ says, no, feed them. And he told us in John 14, let's close in John 14. They better read that. Because as these days come to pass, I believe that our people are going to see themselves in a position where they're going to have to take hold of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 14, starting in verse 10, "Believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you," and listen to this, "he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Do you know, brother, sister, that the turning of this great and mighty nation, this Israel people, I believe, is going to come to pass with miracles that you and I have never dreamed of. Christ said that you do greater things than I did. He healed a few hundred people. He fed a few thousand. He raised a handful from the dead, just two or three. And he said that you're going to do greater things than I did. Do you believe that in this nation, in this end of the age, that if God Almighty sees fit to destroy most of the food out of the land, that we will be able to eat and to live just as Elijah did, with practically no food whatsoever, when we look to heaven and bless the food and feed the people? Now, I believe it, brother, sister. I believe it will come to pass. But that ability, that miracle, the power of God that will multiply the food to us will not be in the hands of the wicked. They will be without food. We may be also. We will eat. They will be destroyed in the famine. And there isn't a thing they can do about it except to come to the Lord, just as God's Israel people will have to do to escape the famine and the sword. The day is coming. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. Our Father and our God, we thank you for these words of comfort. Lord God, we pray that you will help us in our unbelief. Give us faith, Lord, that we may stand, that these things that are coming to pass we understand and know, and pray and believe that they are for thy purposes, for the destruction of the wicked, to cleanse the land. And Lord God, help us that we may stand in that day and continue to do the work as thou come and rule over us, in Jesus' name. Amen.